Hey, this is Ross with Night Clerk Radio, and I'm here with Burke and a special guest, Ronnie from Vapor Space St. Louis. We are trying to reach out to the Vaporwave community and try to spread awareness of what's going on in the scene a little bit. So we thought we'd try something a little different and do an interview. Also because, you know, St. Louis is fairly close to Springfield. So at someday, you know, who knows when the future, I might actually head out and visit.
Howdy, Burke. Howdy, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, Ronnie. First off, could you just sort of give us a little introduction about what you do at Vapor Space?
Sure. I'm a St. Louisan, and I've been listening to Vaporwave for several years. And after attending a really great George Clanton show in Chicago, found myself wondering, how come I don't get to see my favorite Vaporwave artist come through St. Louis? And so basically, my answer to that was rather than wait around for promoters to get hip to this cool music that sometimes it felt like I was the only person in the world that knew anything about it, or at least the only person in St. Louis, I figured I should just get to work and start throwing some shows myself. And what started off with a question on Reddit of, hey, is anybody, Reddit r/Vaporwave, is anybody in St. Louis and interested in throwing a scene? I met my partner and we got to work. And now we've got almost a year of shows under our belt before this virus thing happened.
Yeah.
And that's had some effect, but it's had a huge effect.
Yeah.
We had a year, though, where we were starting to grow. We were gaining a lot of momentum and we were starting to bring in more and more exciting people that people wanted to really come out and see what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, obviously, because of COVID-19, any live show of anything is going to be sort of postponed for a while. But that hasn't stopped you. In fact, you're doing an event this May 22.
Yes, May 22nd and May 23rd. We have a 2-night online Vaporwave stream that's going to come through on twitch.tv through Vaporspace STL. We're incredibly excited about this show. It's been a real honor getting some of the folks involved, but we've put together a stellar lineup, including artists that would have been really, really difficult to get into St. Louis just because of where they lived geographically and some of the expenses associated with that just make it really hard to throw a show.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to the internet bringing everybody close together, we're even including artists from Australia. So,
oh wow,
super, super, super excited to bring the show to light. Where we've been working on it for several weeks now. As we get closer and closer, our excitement just keeps building. So, May 22nd, May 23rd, please come and join us for that show. Vaporspace Online on twitch.tv/Vaporspace STL. And we're starting at 8 p.m. Central both nights.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stream for at least 4 hours each night. We've got great sets coming in from Dan Mason, Vape Error, Mindspring Memories, Skeleton Lipstick, Tupperwave, I'll just name them all. Fiber, Uniwa, Ped Chennington, 3D Blast, Data Girl, Bonus Points, Power PCME, Wizard of Loneliness, Sports Girl, Synchro Start, A Hero, Sound Market, Bit Dream, and Trans World Airlines. And that doesn't even mention all of the incredible visual artists that we have paired up with these musicians to actually really make it a visual and video centric event that you're going to want to watch as well as listen to. So We're super excited about what's cooking.
I'm obviously excited to check it out, to see it. Even before COVID, I was hearing about that St. Louis was beginning to have it. And it was only sort of within the last year or two that Vaporwave was starting to get really like live shows. And I think it was George Clanton doing the 100% Electronica show in Brooklyn or whatever, or VaporCon or whatever it was.
He had two events in 2019 called the Electronicon, the 100%. And then the first one was in Brooklyn. Then he held another one just a few weeks later in Los Angeles.
Mm.
So Electronicon 1 and 2, I believe it was late August and then early October.
When I saw that, I was really excited because it was seeing that, you know, Vaporwave was sort of breaking out of, you know, the digital space, that people were wanting to see it live. And I just wonder what that's like, since you said you attended the one of these.
Both.
Oh, you attended both. Oh, wow. What is it like compared to other shows? I mean, the crowd, the scene as it is.
I was very excited and fortunate to get to go to both of these shows. I can tell you that in a lot of ways, it's very much like what you would expect. Talented musicians and their fans getting together in a music venue kind of looks the same. Almost no matter what music is going to get played. But there was that extra excitement around the Electronicons because it was something, such a novel type of music that many people hadn't had the chance to experience live before. Of all the musicians that played, several of them did have, some live performing under their belts, either in other projects or in the project that they were working on. But there were also a great many of high profile electronic music acts, vaporwave artists and future funk artists who were debuting their live performances. And that to me was super exciting, was to see some of these people who had made an impact on the genre for, you know, a very long time, years of output. And then to be playing for their first time, to know that their music was desired in this live space. In a lot of ways, it felt like, you know, attending a big synthwave show or a big, any big EDM show. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned the crowd was really excited because they knew that they were seeing things that they hadn't seen before. And the vibe of both of those parties, you know, the venues were quite large and really enjoyable venues that helped make the party special. Mm-hmm. It had the festival atmosphere where you're bringing in, you know, merch opportunities and artists who are doing extra kinds of work, installations, and even the food became kind of part of the whole event. Mm-hmm. For one day concerts, they definitely gave people scratch that festival itch that, you know, I'm still lamenting how few vaporwave acts managed to make their way onto the big festival circuits in 2019. It was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I was really expecting to see a lot more of it.
I mean, the fact is that vaporwave has been such like a internet only genre, and it's only now I'm actually not surprised that it would take more time, I guess, for more of the artists to realize, oh, I could actually do this for real, like in a real space. Like it's not just anonymous people on the internet who want to listen to this. They actually will go out in public to listen to vaporwave. I mean, it's for me very heartening because a lot of people always think the joke, you know, is right. Like vaporwave is dead. Sure. Vaporwave has been dead since it began is sort of the long running joke. But like, so this to you sounds like vaporwave is just getting started as a genre or just beginning to evolve.
I feel like it's going through a metamorphosis. It's definitely leaving its adolescence behind it and coming into a more mature approach. Mm-hmm. I think the music industry, and I use the word industry very purposefully, was curious to see if vaporwave had any real financial upside or if it was a slacker genre that really couldn't be absorbed by the music industry. Mm-hmm. I think the music industry is paying a whole lot of different attention now in 2020 than it was before the Electronicons happened, just based off of their sheer success. I mean, George Clanton was able to sell a tremendous number of tickets to these events in a tremendously short amount of time. And in every case, everyone was like, wow, I didn't know it was going to go like that. So it was really heartening as a guy working to make it grow, to see how successful he was at throwing these shows and finding interested people.
Yeah, like it was really interesting how, not maybe mainstream is a strong word, but how widely well-received Slide was, which was his 2018 album. Like it was on all kinds of stuff that would never cover vaporwave normally.
And you can still find people arguing, you know, why that is. And, you know, it certainly wasn't as strictly vaporwave as some of his work as a Spree or 100% electronica, those kinds of projects. But it was one hell of a good, well-conceived album with songs that I think anybody that kind of has 90s alternative rock in their genetic makeup was able to connect to aspects of this album and how it was produced. mm-hmm. and be able to find that warm, nostalgic feeling from it. It was a very big album for me personally. It did change my approach mm-hmm. to Vaporwave as being a funny little track-based, non-danceable electronic music into, wow, wait a minute, there's a lot of really good amount of thought that is going into making these albums impactful. I don't want to say anything bad about the Vaporwave that came before it. However, it was a really big album for me. It came out of the blue. Mm-hmm. It came out of the blue, and it did different things with Vaporwave that I didn't see coming.
Exactly. I agree. Totally.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I'm curious about now, that you're obviously fully immersed in the scene now. So like, and we've been reviewing a lot of older albums on Night Clerk Radio here. In fact, we reviewed Virtua.zip not too long ago, although that episode won't pop up for a while on the feed. What kind of direction do you see the genre going? Do you think there's going to be even new, do you think there's going to be any more subgenres popping up? Do you think some subgenres are going to be like fading away more? Like, what do you think is going to start trending soon?
Well, I see it going in a lot of different directions. I see you guys mentioned kind of your passion for ambient music. Mm-hmm. I feel like Vaporwave is got a very strong ambient community that is doing a lot of innovative stuff, both on ambient music that is good to noodle out to with the Mall Soft movement, and really heady psychedelic stuff coming out of like the Slushwave movement. I'm digging Slushwave a lot right now. Every time I listen to, you know, this kind of washed out and incredibly psychedelic compositions that I'm hearing from folks like Mindspring Memories and Telepath.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting. And Mallsoft, this idea that sounds so boring on paper is really so enjoyable to listen to. Artists like Limousine and Cat System Corp, who both came out with albums in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. Just really great listens and really innovative ambient music. Mm-hmm. I feel like George is overdue for an album. He's released some of the singles and his work with Nyx Hexum, but I'm sure that whatever he does is going to make a big splash. And his label is continuing to put out, you know, really innovative albums from folks like Vape Error and Dan Mason, who are, again, kind of redefining this notion of, you know, what's Vaporwave. And you can start with the argument that if they're not making music that sounds like Vaporwave, are they Vaporwave artists? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to counter that with this notion that Vaporwave is, in my opinion, and, you know, I'm just a guy that throws some shows, I'm not a musician. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, you know, Vaporwave has a lot to do with the approach and the aesthetic that comes away from your finished pieces. You know, not so much a technical definition that's gonna define your sound. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use it a lot broader than some people. But where is it going to go? It's going to go everywhere. Why not?
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think in a lot of our reviews, we've sort of focused more on the feeling than any of the technical reasons, like why, what nostalgic or dissonant feeling is this trying to induce in you? You know, in other words, it's all about the aesthetic. And I think that's right. Yeah, Vaporwave, again, is sort of a bit ambiguous, but it is kind of changing, especially now. Of course, it has to change because it, just as the live scene was beginning, it's going to be on hold for a while. Do you see these streamed live shows? Is everything on standby? Do you think it's going to keep it? Has it been growing since the beginning of the COVID crisis?
I almost feel like it was Vaporwave's secret competitive advantage was that because it had such a history of being born on the internet, that it is so native to the platform that while some people had to figure out how to become streaming musicians, mm-hmm. a lot of Vaporwave was already, they were prepared. Mm-hmm. They were ready to go.
Okay.
And so I feel like if all the genres were in a race, this helped buy us some time and help us catch the rest of the pack, mm-hmm. because we were absolutely prepared to go to an all online show format and have Vaporwave be a thing that you find on the internet. That's what they were doing before. I feel like when this is over, it's going to be a stronger force in the mind's zeitgeist in the future than it is now.
Yeah, you mentioned it for your show. You're going to be having some visual artists working on. Like, what is this sort of like animations timed to the music, or is this what kind of visuals are we talking about? Like, what is that artistic or creative process?
Well, we're working with 15 different visual artists, So I can tell you that there are a lot of different processes and concepts and practices at work. Mm-hmm. My instructions to all of them were very much the same. You know, I wanted them to do something collaborative with their artist that in the end they were both excited and proud of, that made us feel connected to both of their voices. You know, it's like I want the people who are experiencing the show to have the connection with the musician and to have the connection with what the visual artist is doing as well. You will see some of everything that you describe. Some of the guys that are working on the visuals team are analog tape enthusiasts, big VHS culture and a lot of passion for, you know, using some of these things that were literally thrown out of cable access stations, You know, in mass in the mid to late 90s, where they're just like, well, we don't need that anymore. And they're like, wow, You know, they're resurrecting old machines and finding cool new ways to use them. Then there are other people who are absolutely on the bleeding edge of software innovation, doing 3D rendering and modeling. So you have very different workflows when you compare those groups.
Cool.
But I think anybody that watches the stream they'll see a lot of different points of view, And hopefully everything that they'll see is something that they wouldn't have seen anywhere else. I'm very excited to have some of these musicians who have had, you know, their own visual experiences before already. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see some of them work with some of these visual artists as well.
Nice. Sort of related. Well, not technically related. What kind of what music have you been listening to? Like, are there any albums from artists you haven't mentioned, or is there what's been in your heavy rotation on your playlist?
I have been listening to a lot of the albums that are coming out of St. Louis. My friend Bonus Points, who is going to be in on our show on May 22nd and the 23rd. My friend Bit Dream, my friend TWA, and my friend Sound Market have all released albums in the last year. I've been really impressed with the work that these guys have put out during the time that I've known them. It feels intimate to me because I've seen them play these songs live. And I saw them play them live for the first time. And it's really, I don't want to, you know, put myself into it too much, but like I'm sampled on one of the songs, like my voice is on it. It's unlike anything that I've ever really experienced before. And to have these very talented musicians making music while also collaborating with me on other stuff makes me feel like I'm part of all of it. So it's been very exciting to do that. I listen to a lot of synthwave whenever I go bicycling. So I've been biking a lot because I haven't had the opportunity to get into a gymnasium. So synthwave mixes are definitely going down big. When I'm on the bike, I just feel like I'm racing down the road in a Ferrari or something.
Yeah. Send us a few links to these albums and we'll put them in the show notes. So Burke, do you have any other questions?
Mainly was just thinking about Twitch in general. So if I understood, is this the first time you're just using a Twitch channel to stream these concerts, or have you done digital concerts before?
I have never done a digital concert before. This will be our very first.
So if it really is a hit, do you think you can see using Twitch just in general? Say once you can resume live conferences, still keeping maybe that Twitch presence going of having some like curated St. Louis sets?
I certainly think that's possible. I will know a lot more about how I feel about Twitch on May 4th. I think from what I've experienced so far is it seems like an enjoyable platform for anybody that's creating video content. I feel like it has fewer issues with things that sometimes are problematic for DJs, things that are sometimes problematic for people who are using a sampadelic approach to making things, to collage artists. I feel like Twitch is pretty open in their fair use and haven't been overrun with corporate AI really looking out for, you know, certain intellectual properties. So I feel like Twitch has a little bit more freedom in that arena.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, specifically compared to, I think, their big competitors, which is Facebook Live and YouTube, which both, you know, they have a lot of desirability as far as I'm concerned. But everything about technical difficulties gives me just makes my stomach drop into my shoes. So I'm always just like, how can we avoid any interruptions in the stream? So that's Twitch definitely seemed like the best platform for that. Although I hear also Mixer is a pretty robust platform that is very DJ friendly as well, that actually features a high audio bit rate. So we might be looking into that. Again, this is all kind of new to a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you could get it working on Twitch, you know, that would have the right combination of potential audience too versus some smaller platforms.
And quite a few of the visual artists that we have brought on have been using Twitch themselves, have had a lot of luck doing their art on Twitch. And I feel like the visual plus music medium is something that I would like to continue to explore, at least in Vaporspace STL's interpretation of how Vaporwave is supposed to be experienced. I think there is a visual component to Vaporwave that is very important. Even when we're talking about vaporwave music shows.
If you're interested in checking out the online digital concert for Vaporspace St. Louis, that's May 22, starting at 8 p.m. Central on
Friday and Saturday on twitch.tv/vaporspacestl. All one word, no spaces.
And of course, we'll have the show notes. We'll have the link in the show notes. Thank you so much, Ronnie, for joining us, telling us a little bit about the vapor wave scene as it is now. Thanks for everyone for listening. We'll talk to you all next time.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. Burke here. Thanks so much for checking out our interview with Ronnie from Vaporspace St. Louis. You can find him on Twitter at Vaporspace_STL. Likewise, you can find us there at Night Clerk Radio. Be sure to check all the show notes for relevant links to see his show, to find us. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your app of choice. That sort of feedback really helps us both grow the show and also make it better for you, the listener. Thanks again for listening, and stay haunted.